Today we continue our series on big church, and today I want to talk to you about a big opportunity that we have. We began the series noting that the church launched 2,000 years ago, not as a building. The church wasn't an organization or an institution. The church was a movement, and what started out as 12 people who followed Jesus quickly became 120. And then when Peter preached the sermon that we just read, or at least a part of it from Acts 2, and it gets into the sermon that he preached, we find out there in Acts chapter 2 that 3,000 people responded and became followers of Jesus. And within just a few weeks, there's now one-tenth of Jerusalem are followers of Jesus, numbering 10,000 Christians. They believed that God had done something unique, not way back then, not somewhere over there, but that God had done something unique just weeks before, and that they could point and say, there's Golgotha, there's the place where his cross was. And some of us saw him die, and we knew all the stories. This happened here, and it happened now, and we're witnesses to it. And then if you want to see his tomb, it's just over there. I can walk you to it. And it's empty. And not only that, don't just trust my word, but there's 500 people alive in Jerusalem right now who have seen this Jesus risen from the dead, and he is who he say he is. This isn't a religion that happened a long time ago in some other place. This happened here in our place. This happened here, and it happened now. But the movement really caught fire, not then, not in those first few weeks. The movement really caught fire when the number one persecutor of the church, Paul of Tarsus, when the number one persecutor of the church suddenly became the number one evangelist, its number one missionary, the greatest missionary in the history of the church, converted to Christianity. Suddenly, Paul is able to take the gospel to all different nationalities, all different races, cultures, continents. People all over are following Jesus. Kids, I know you've heard in your history classes that over time there were some dark days in the history of the church. Like there was that whole section in the Middle Ages where some horrible things were being done in the name of Jesus. I take the Crusades. The Crusades were launched in the name of Jesus. Or you could go back to the Spanish Inquisition, was done in the name of Jesus. Now, we would say that's breaking a commandment because the commandment says, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And so when you attach Jesus' name to your war, you're taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And that was done. And it was done. Everybody wanted to believe that God put his stamp on their war and their agenda and their politics. And you see that throughout church history. So for sure, that's a part of it. And you know, because you're Lutheran Christians, we're people of the Reformation. We reformed the church. And you know that the church has had bad leadership at times. It has had bad theology. There's times where rich people had more money, and so they were more easily able to buy indulgences. And so they thought that because they could buy indulgences, that meant that they could have easier access to God or to heaven. Like somehow that how much wealth you have was how much grace God was willing to give you. There's all sorts of bad history in the church. There's been dark days. But in spite of all these high-profile, notorious stories, in spite of that, there have always been some who got it. There have always been some, a group, who put the mission first, who put Jesus first. There have always been people led by the Holy Spirit, which we read about in Pentecost. The Spirit comes in, and there's earthquakes, and there's tongues of fire, and there's languages being spoken. There's always some who have responded to the calling of the Spirit, who believed it's not about the building, and it's not about the style. It's not about the organization or the institution. It's about Jesus' love for the lost, about Jesus' gift of salvation to the whole world. There's always been people who have been ready to respond to the Spirit. And since the very time of the apostles that we read about in Acts chapter 2, so many incredible things have also happened in the name of Jesus. Hospitals have been built around the world in the name of Jesus. And these aren't just hospitals for the rich. We built these hospitals throughout our history for the poor, for the widows, for the orphans. We did it because the grace of a God was not just a sermon to be preached, it was a life to be lived. Through the name of Jesus, millions of people have been fed, and it continues to this day. Our church, Peace, we build homes, not just homes overseas with the poor, but even in our poor, in our very rich American country. And we partner with local organizations where we donate clothes and we donate food and we serve alongside them and we build houses, because that's what you do when you hold up the name of Jesus. Children have been sent to school in the name of Jesus, not just boys. It's under Christianity that we said girls deserve the right for education as well. And Lutherans in particular, we love education. We like to slam it down your throats in confirmation class, and we like to do it with your textbooks in school too. And so we have set up schools all over the world so that not just the rich could have education, but that the poor could have education. And in any place that we go, if you find a Lutheran missionary there, I guarantee you they're already working on the school that they're going to plant. Because when you plant a Lutheran church, you also plant a Lutheran school. Because education is a part of what we believe. We believe if we give you education and we give you Jesus Christ, God can work powerfully in your life. Slavery was done away in England in the name of Jesus because the churches stood up and said, I don't care what your politics says, I don't care what the economics says, it has to stop. And finally, America paid attention, and our abolition movement here was led by Christians, it was led by churches, by pastors, who took note of what was happening in England and believed no matter what the politics, no matter how much economic cost it is, we have to do what is right in the name of Jesus. And missionaries forever have risked their lives because they believe eternity matters. Eternity matters. The best we can do as a church is to follow the Spirit. And the Spirit has always been one that says, what we do as a church, the gospel is always transcultural, it's transgenerational, it's for all nations, it's for all peoples. And so the best we can do is follow the Spirit. Think about Pentecost. You have tongues of fire. You have people hearing the love of God in their own tongues. 3,000 people are saved. In 2 weeks, Pastor Wee Ching and I leave for Ethiopia. And we're going to go together because there is something happening over there and we want to follow the Spirit. And Wee Ching, I'm going to invite you up so we can interview a little bit and you can talk to us about the church over there. I'll be gone about a week. Wee Ching's going to be gone for more than a month. He's got his new wife over there. He has a baby over there. He's got his village and friends, and he's got another mission that God's placed before him. It's going to take me 2 nights flying just to get over there and then another full day to come back. So I'll be in the country for about 6 days. And our itinerary is to fly into Addis Ababa. We're going to be there. We're going to get to visit the seminary. And then after a couple days, we'll take another flight to Gambela. Gambela is on the western side of Ethiopia on the South Sudanese border. And it's there that our churches, Lutheran churches in South Sudan, many of the refugees, many of Wee Ching's own family, they have come into Ethiopia to escape the civil war. And so there in Gambela, there's Lutheran churches that have been planted and have been named for Peace Lutheran Church, Hearst, Texas. This is where these people are serving God. There's pastors there. And it's kind of amazing because Ethiopia has become a launching point in many ways, because the Lutheran church in Ethiopia is so strong. Let me give you an idea. The Lutheran church in Ethiopia started about 60 years ago, in 1959, 60 years ago. 10 years ago, it had 2.3 million Lutherans. 2 years ago, so just 8 years later, 2 years ago, they now have 8.3 million baptized Christians in the Lutheran Church of Ethiopia. In the Lutheran Church in Ethiopia, they now have 8,500 churches, 4,000 preaching stations. So these are preaching stations that are not yet churches, but they're on their way to becoming churches. They have 3,000 ministers. Some of them are pastors, but most of them are not. And they baptize, get this, they baptize 5,000 people a week. The Ethiopian Lutheran Church baptizes 5,000 people a week. And through our ministry with Wee Ching, we have done some partnership with the seminary in Addis Ababa. That's one of the reasons we're going. Through our ministry there, we've been supporting four seminarians to become pastors. Our church did it. You might not even notice it in our mission budget, because our mission budget as a church was $180,000. And to train a pastor over there is like a little fraction of all that. So it's no big deal for us. And one of the things that Wee Ching's going to share with all of you is that in many ways, great gospel spirit-led impact, it to us, it doesn't even cost anything. All it is just taking notice of where the Spirit is and saying, Lord, I want to be a part of what you're doing. Wee Ching, tell us about, because this is amazing what the Spirit's doing in Ethiopia. And even in Sudan, with the persecution and the war, it's amazing that more people are becoming Christians, not less. But tell us a little bit about the diplomatic mission that you've been asked to be a part of.
Well, thank you. I would like to say thank you. Thank you to you, member of Peace Lutheran Church, for all that you have been done for so many years. And many of you do not even know it, that you are doing this. I've been going back and forth doing mission work. I've been talking with Jim. If he can go, or if anyone can go to see some of the things that we have done here at Peace Lutheran Church. And more than anything, I also would thank you for the love that you have for me and for my family, for all the wonderful things that you do for the African immigrant here. Yes, indeed, you have done a great thing. Not only, as Pastor Jim mentioned, for Africa, you've done it for Guatemala, in Central America, Mexico, Indian, and many other places. You know, the God word that God has put into your heart have been going throughout the world that you do not even know that it has been there. Churches have been growing. Many people have been praising and glorifying God's name because of all the work that you have done here in this place where you are sitting. And many church buildings have been done. Students have been sent to seminary to study God's word to become pastor. Some are doing incredible job over there. This is what will often God has provided you with a tool and energy and wisdom and courage to do things beyond your understanding anyway. As I will go with Pastor Jim, you will see the church that has a banner like that one called Peace Lutheran Church. And that is exactly a year ago, Pastor Jim gave me about $5,000. And that is why that church is being built. Peace Lutheran Church, with many others, have been supporting Sudanese Lutheran Mission Society, and we build a lot of other churches, many. I think we will go across many other those churches where Pastor Jim will see. We will be received by the Deputy Bishop of Evangelical Lutheran Church of South Sudan, and Sudan and Ethiopia. He will be the one to receive us. Good thing has been done. And I would like to say thank you for all that you have been doing. And thank you for your prayer, please. God is in mission with you. As Jim has mentioned, it has been a year that I've been asked to help by one of the officials that I could serve as a chaplain to speak God's word to the people who are devastated by war those who are living in a refugee camp, and also have been asked specifically to speak God's word to the soldiers, to share the good thing. You know, South Sudan have been at war. The war that had been starting in 2013 is worse than the war that had been fought with the North Sudan, where the livelihood of all the family have been destroyed. Children have been killed, women have been killed, elderly people have been killed, rape have been going by those who think that they are fighting on behalf of their people. And they are doing that. In the capital of South Sudan, Juba, there is what is called unknown gunmen. Those are soldiers. During the daytime, they are soldiers. At night, they become robbers. They would go out and kill people. This is not only with the government, also with some of those in the those who are in the opposition with the government. I have been afraid to help in that, and I have been reluctant to do something like that. And many pastors around the United States and Canada have been asking me to help if I could. While a while ago, I've been willing to say, yes, if that call will come, I will take it. I will take it if you think that I can make some little bit different in the life of our community, in our country. And I can do something like that. It may happen. The call is there. Everything has been done. The person who attended the call to me have came in this place years ago, and he had been speaking here. He was the vice president of South Sudan before he was chased out, where about 20,000 people were killed in 2 days. Only a specific tribe in South Sudan. And he is the one who asked me if I can help to speak to his soldier about the love of God, about the caring, about what need to be done in a moral way than to do things that are leaving a very bad footprint for the generation to come.
What they've found is both the military leaders for the South Sudanese government, as well as the rebel forces, have both found that they cannot control their soldiers. You give people weapons and you give them power over some of these remote villages, and who's to say what happens at night? And they've kind of lost this control. It was the rebel general that reached out to Wee Ching and said, if he comes, I will allow some of these conversations to happen about peace. But he didn't trust any of the people there because there's so much political stuff going on. But now Wee Ching's an American. And so he can come as a pastor and as an American and as an authority figure and has been asked to come and to speak to the soldiers, because apparently the military tactics and the politics and everything the government has at their disposal, it's not working because it doesn't change the heart. And so they're essentially saying, can you come and speak to us about the gospel so that the rape and the pillage and the murder and all these brutal attacks that are happening? At one point, Wee Ching said, the places where his people were coming, his family were coming from, 90% of the people are starving to death. 90% are starving to death. And so the soldiers use their power and their control, and they're just kind of taking what they want, and they've asked him to come and to be a negotiator, to be a preacher of the gospel. And we know this. Only the gospel can heal the heart.
Well, as you mentioned about the population, South Sudan have been estimated to be 12 million. 4.9 million are refugees. 7 million are in a very desperate situation that famine, no food, nothing to eat. What is left within the country is nothing. That means if you total all this together that has been affected is 10.9 million out of 12 million. That is nothing left. The life is so difficult. Part of why I've been hurt is if, as I am here, an American citizen, if there could be any help. You know, unless the U.S. speak out, there could be no peace. no matter what. There is peace now going on in Addis Ababa as we are speaking, unless the U.S. stand tall and say, enough is enough. President Bush did it long time ago, that was independent of South Sudan. Now, this administration, the Trump administration, have been trying their level best, even telling the government that they lose trust with the people, even with the government of the United States. There is nothing left. Enough is enough. That is what they are saying, even trying to reveal everything so that peace can come. Unless you, the people who are here, speak out, nothing. That people who are now desperately need food, need everything, they will not have life.
One of the things the board of directors and I talked about when I was first interviewing to come to peace was they wanted our mission work to be where our hands and feet were active. And so all of you can ask, like, well, how can we help and what can we do? Here's an example of a way that you can help. And this is not a big ask. It's a small ask. But when I went to Weiching, I said, ask the people in Gambela, the villages where our Lutheran churches are, and ask the pastors there, what is their dream list of needs? Now, our dream list here at Peace would probably be something that would run in the hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, right? Their dream list was this. $300 for underwear, $500 for shoes, which very few people have shoes. Even getting a $5 flip-flop is a luxury over there. And so even us providing, we're going to buy these things over there. It's far, far cheaper to buy it over there than it is to buy it here or donate it here and ship it there. Although Weiching did tell me that I might need to bring a second suitcase and check it for free and then stuff it with a bunch of clothes or something else. I just told them that's fine, but I'm not bringing $300 of children's underwear in my second suitcase. I did say that because you know, all this customs and stuff, and you're already making me get 7 vaccines in my arm and probably a terrible sunburn. But you look at the need, $400 for clothes, $200 for basketballs, and then $1,000 each for Bibles and songbooks. Because the people there, they don't have Bibles themselves. They might have one per church. They don't have songbooks, so the people memorize the songs. And so this is just minor stuff that's their dream list, and we can take care of it right away. So if you want to give, you can just write a normal check to Peace, as you would, a normal offering. But just in the byline, you can either put Ethiopia, you can put AIM, A-I-M, African Immigrant Ministries. And for the next couple weeks, we'll be collecting funds so that we can take relief over there to the refugees, to these churches, and we can equip these pastors to do the work that God's called them to do. Because, like, despite everything he just told you, the gospel in South Sudan and our Lutheran churches, we're on fire. And when you think about the Lutheran church, and it's hard sometimes here in America, as we wonder, the church just seems to be shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. What's going to happen? And in Ethiopia, the Lutheran church is baptizing 5,000 people a week. And they're begging for professors to come over there and to teach theology classes because their people are hungry for it. So despite the persecution we see and the famine and everything else, the church is on fire, and we have a chance to be a part of that fire.
And as you mentioned, in fact, if you see those things, like those of underwear and shoes, clothes, basketball for the children, and all those things, they may seem very simple to people here. But with those people, they are wonderful. Because let me tell you, some of the children, many of them, have no shoes, no underwear. Even some of the adults, that is nothing. It is because those people have nothing to buy things with. They have been running away. If they have anything before, all those things gone. The Bible thing, as you said, yes, it is a very important thing in their life. You know, when people are at war, and there is nothing that they have to hold on. There is only one person they have to look upon, and that is God. That is when you will find a church on a day like this. It is full. And it is full because they have nothing else but to trust God with the alive, with the day to come, and with whatever. That is what will happen. And I am asking, saying thank you to Jim, because our going over there is not like a normal way of going. Part of it, we may walk for maybe an hour to reach to some of the places, especially the church where we built that has the logo of Peace Lutheran Church. People are very exciting. I am very excited so that he will go and see for himself. And a very simple thing. Some people cannot even read their Bible because they do not have glasses. Very simple thing that are easy here in the United States, but they are very hard, very difficult to do. And thank for taking the time to go with me and to see with your own life. I will be going sometime to the refugee camp and to share the good news of Jesus. I will be speaking to many people wherever I will be. And if that call comes, yes, please, with the help of God, I will do my best with the rest of those whom the Lord has called to share his good news.
Couple things. We'll fly into Addis Ababa. We'll be there, get to visit the seminary for a couple days, see some of the church leaders there, then fly to Gambela. Gambela is on the border of South Sudan, and when we're there, the way he tells me is that we're going to visit the seminary that's there as well. We'll get to see the churches in the city, and then we're going to try to get a car and take a car for a couple hours or something over near a village, and then we're going to cross a river in a canoe. And then we'll be carrying all these goods, children's underwear and other things that are not so discreet, and take our way into the village. And my, you know, just a prayer request for me is become friends with Wee Ching on Facebook so you can see these churches. And you can see the roof that we paid for, and you can see the different things that we put in these churches. So become friends with Wee Ching on Facebook, and you can see all these pictures. And we want to share that with you because it's important that hands and feet, you know where the mission is that we're doing. This isn't just sending money overseas. This is our church being active in it. If you look at some of the pictures and you're looking for me, I'll be the really white guy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
The really, the whitest of the guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
You will be.
It's
yeah.
True.
Yes.
How did I know that? the other thing that's really funny is he was sharing with me a hotel, and he said, there's this hotel outside Addis that we could stay at, and it's very nice. He kept saying, it's very nice. It's $10 a night. I don't trust him at all. He says very nice, and I'm like, he's just talking. And here's the funny thing about Wee Ching. So I'll say, so does it have air conditioning? And he has to think about it. And he says, I think so, which is not assuring at all. that doesn't assure me at all.
You know what I will do is I will take the picture of that. I will take him to that place.
Oh, he showed me a picture of it. And the picture, there are bars all over the windows.
Yes. That is
like, that's a good thing.
Yes. That is food. That is everything that you will see. That is wonderful.
I love food. Yeah.
Yes.
I told him about a week ago, I said, in the next couple weeks, I'm going to lose 10 pounds so I have this much less back sweat when he's got me in one of these taxis. And he said, oh, don't lose weight because when you get there, you're going to lose a lot of weight. Which I don't know if he's saying it's going to be super hot or I'm going to have a lot of dysentery. Which, kids, if you don't know what the word dysentery means, find Gary Pomeranke or Scotty Lehrman or somebody else that wants to talk about this kind of stuff.
And I mean it. He does not need to lose weight. By the time you come back by walking 1 hour.
I walk 1 hour every morning.
No, it's not like here. Oh. Over there, it's hot.
Yeah, that's right.
By the time you come back, then you will need some coupon.
Yeah. Okay. we're going to close with a word of prayer. First off, we recognize when a church is baptizing 5,000 people a week, and it's our church body hasn't had a major impact on the world in a while. We're doing Martin Luther kind of stuff right now. over there. It's our chance to continue to reform who the church is supposed to be. And it's all gospel. Everything we're doing is gospel and it's good. 5,000 people a week. So I want to have a prayer for Wee Ching, but if y'all would first, just give him a hand, applause, love him. Holy Spirit, we know that you have been leading and guiding your church since the very beginning. You went to the first disciples and you called them out and you placed them there and you said, with tongues they will speak and they will share the good news of the Lord and people will come, and they did. And we know that this is true and we know that this is who the church can be, and so often we lose that hope. We lose the promise that you have made to your church. And yet, we are growing faster than we have ever done before. There are more people being impacted before. And the more that the world and Satan wants to persecute us, the more powerful we become. We thank you for this. We ask that you would bless Wee Ching, that you would bless the church there as they receive us. And Lord, we pray that your gospel will continue to go forward in Ethiopia and South Sudan to the very ends of the earth. Lord, in your mercy.